Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Doug has got a busy lineup to get to in just a couple of moments. So let's begin on Rob Pratt Sunday by saying if you're the 10th caller, you want a gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. Doug, lots to get to, so it's showtime. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. Yeah, a very special show with a very special guest coming up next after the break. Chuck Lavelle is keyboardist and musical director of the Rolling Stones, who are playing Heinz Field tomorrow night. Besides his illustrious career as a musician, and he's played with just about everybody, Chuck is passionate about the environment and is a sustainable forester at his beloved Charlane Plantation in Georgia. I cannot wait. It is exciting for me to get a guest of such stature, that's for sure. And I'm sure Chuck will have a lot of interesting things to say. After Chuck, we'll talk with Luke Warner from the Davy Tree Expert Company about how to prepare your trees for winter. And he's got a lot of good ideas. And speaking of trees, you wouldn't happen to have some pawpaw seeds, would you? I made an announcement last week that Tree Pittsburgh needs them. They don't have the same source that they used to for pawpaw seeds, and they could sure use them. They do a lot of great work for our region as far as trees are concerned. I was there the other day, dropped off some pawpaw seeds from a listener. You can find out more about that at DougOster.com. And also there at DougOster.com, you can check out my recent appearance on Pittsburgh Today Live. I was planting seeds and plants of cool weather crops, along with some bargain perennials, too. I told you about, I found some clematis plants in big pots for only $8. And so that appearance is there. And, oh, I'm so glad to hear that we're getting some rain. You know, I didn't water yesterday because I knew rain was coming. And so a couple days of rain will be perfect for the garden. I don't know about you, but I've had to start to kind of clear things out. My tomatoes are just about done, but a friend of mine sent me a text the other day and said, "Who said tomato season's over?" with a picture of about 10 tomatoes. Speaking of appearances, did you know the fall version of the Duquesne Light Home and Garden Show starts next weekend? It's just 3 days, and I'll be there all 3 days at 4 p.m., at the Farm to Table of Western Pennsylvania area, and I'm giving away some free seeds to my perpetual spinach Swiss chard seeds I'm giving away that can be planted right now. And then after I'm done there on Friday and Saturday, I'll move to booth number 305 with my old friend Andy Amrine, and we're going to be together from 6 to 8 on Friday to Saturday at the Home and Garden Show. And boy, I'm excited to be back there. You know, I've been appearing there, gosh, I don't know how long, always in March. You know, they'll have it again in March, but this is because the last one in March was canceled due to COVID. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, if you're shopping for stuff, the Home and Garden Show is a place to go. Now, in the past, when I worked for the PG and when I worked for the Trib, we had free tickets. I don't have free tickets for you this year. And so I hope you'll come and see me. I'll be talking at Farm to Table all about fall planting, doing a little 30-minute talk there, then giving away the free seeds. And then one more. Next Saturday before I go to the home show, I'm going to be at the Blonox Harvest Festival from 12 noon to 2. It's in the Blahnik Community Park, and I'll be talking gardening, along with planting some daffodils with kids in the community garden. And I'll have something cool to give away there, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am headed to England and Holland in May. This trip is just about sold out. It's a trip to the Chelsea Flower Show, which is the Super Bowl of flower shows. I'm very excited about that. But then also, I've seen the Chelsea Flower Show twice. It is something that every gardener should go see. But then after that, we are headed to Holland to see this thing called Floriade, and it only happens every 10 years. I've been talking to people about it. I said, if I don't go this time, the next time I'll be 72, and so will I be able to enjoy it the same way I can today? So all that information is at DougOster.com. Now, I hope you are still planting because this is planting season. You know, we'll talk to Luke Warner about planting trees for sure, besides getting trees ready for winter. But trees and shrubs and perennials, and I've got all of them sitting out there waiting to be planted, actually. I've got two of those clematis still left. I've got a lilac left to plant. Proven Winter sent me some cool new introductions that I'm going to plant. I'm just keeping them watered and waiting for for a frost. As soon as we get a frost, whenever that is, and the longer that takes, the better. I change gears in planting, and that's when my pansies go in, and maybe some mums if I can find some that aren't bloomed out. You know, when you're looking for mums, if you're looking for mums right now, try and find them when they're really tightly budded and just in the blush and not fully flowered out, because they just won't last as long. And now that we've got some cooler temperatures, we've got some rain, those things like pansies and flowering kale and mums are all a good idea. You know, won't burn them up. And I'm starting to think about saving some of the bulbs of tubers and bulbs from caladiums. You know, as soon as it gets cold, caladiums are these beautiful shade-loving foliage plants, and I have them all over, and I want to save that bulb underneath. And so as soon as they, again, the frost changed everything. As soon as they're frosted on the top, then I'm going to take them out. I'm going to put them in, dry them out for a day or two on newspaper. I never put water on them. And then I'll put them in some vermiculite in a big Rubbermaid container so they don't touch, and we'll do layer after layer after layer of them. I'll do the same with tuberous begonias. I have a big begonia out there called Griffin. The thing's growing 4 feet tall now, and that's going to be one that I will save over the winter. And so I'll have that, all that information on DougOster.com. How are we doing on time there, Rob? We want to get out a little early on the break?
Yeah, we're going to break now, Doug, and come back on the other side and get to your interview. Hey, talking about our mental health has the power to save lives. We witnessed that firsthand with Odyssey's I'm Listening Mental Health Special. Carson Daly, Dr. Alfie, and cast of generous guests, including Billie Eilish, Imagine Dragons, Justin Bieber, Darius Rucker, and more, shared wonderful insight and tips for coping. If you missed the special or want to hear it again, it's on the Odyssey app or at odyssey.com now. Please remember, you are definitely not alone. Here I am listening now on the Odyssey app. Coming back with that great interview in just a couple of moments with Doug. Stay with us. All right, here we go, folks. The moment you've all been waiting for since Doug and I started to promote this before the Rolling Stones take to the stage at Heinz Field. He had a chance to catch up with their keyboardist, Chuck Leavell. Here they are right now, KDKA.
Chuck Leavell is keyboardist and musical director for the Rolling Stones. He's had a long, illustrious musical career as a member of the Allman Brothers. He's also played with Eric Clapton, George Harrison, the Black Crowes, Train, Eric Church, John Mayer, and many other artists. Chuck has a love for music, but also a deep passion for environmentalism. He spent over four decades as a sustainable forester managing thousands of acres at his beloved Charlene Plantation in Georgia. Before the Stones hit Heinz Field on Monday, he sat down for a wide-ranging interview talking about music, the environment, and Rose Lane, the love of his life. It's all chronicled in the documentary film, Chuck Leavell, The Tree Man. Well, Chuck, welcome to the show. Let's get right to it. Could you tell the story about how you found your way to forestry and why it was forestry that saved your wife, Rose Lane's family property in Georgia?
Well, back in 1981, Rose Lane's grandmother passed away, leaving her a nice sizable piece of land, about 1,000 acres, which was a diversified farm. It had row crops, it had some cattle on it, and it did also have some forestry components. We had to think about what we were going to do with this land. We knew it was family land. We certainly didn't want to sell it. This was back in the early 80s, and the estate tax situation was much different than it is today. The exemption was something like $300,000, and so we were saddled with a huge bill from the IRS for estate taxes. So I like to say that we didn't inherit anything. The U.S. government and the IRS inherited our land, and they gave us the opportunity to buy it back from them. So as we pondered what to do, of course, I wanted to follow my career in music. and it looked like row cropping and cattle farming and some of the other things we looked at, like peach trees or pecan trees or nursery stock, would be a whole lot of day-to-day requirement. And then we thought about forestry. You know, first of all, there was a personal connection for me. Where does that instrument that's given me such joy and such a great career come from? And of course, it comes from the resource of wood, as does most musical instruments. So there was kind of a personal feeling of, you know, if I could plant trees and take care of them, you know, they do so many good things. Now, I'm not going to use pine trees to make a piano or a guitar, but nevertheless, many good things are made from pine trees, such as materials to make books and magazines and newspapers, and materials to build our homes, schools, churches, and of course, they clean our air, they clean our water, provide home and shelter to all manner of wildlife. So it just seemed like the right thing to do. And also, because it was long-term, it wouldn't require so much day-to-day, that made sense for us.
So what was the genesis of Chuck Lavelle, the Tree Man documentary?
My motivation was simply to have a document for future generations of our family. We have four grandchildren now, and, you know, I can see in the future maybe some great-grandchildren. And I wanted them to have some type of document, not just of me as a musician, but as our family and the story, the love story that Rose Lane and I have together, and the work in the environmental arena. I was so proud of the way it turned out. Our filmmaker, Alan Forrest, just did a wonderful job of weaving those three themes together, the music, the conservation, and the love story.
I couldn't help but notice the beautiful raised bed vegetable garden at Charlane that's featured in the film. Is that a Rose Lane thing or something you enjoy too?
Well, Rose Lane is definitely more the gardener than I am, but I do love going out there and helping every now and then. And we also have staff at Charlane that help with the garden. But as you know, Doug, and as your listeners know, there's just such joy that you get out of putting that seed in the ground and, you know, looking after it, watering it, nurturing it as it grows, and then seeing those vegetables come to be, and then taking them and putting them in the kitchen and rinsing them off and enjoying fresh tomatoes or cucumbers or carrots or celery or whatever it may be.
Back to the trees. When did you realize that sustainable forestry was so important and that spreading the word about this type of work was equally as critical?
Well, once we made the decision to primarily focus on forestry at Charlane, then it began a process of studying and educating myself and ourselves, Rose Lane, of course, involved as well, and just educate myself as best I could on the process of managing forest land. You know, I guess it was somewhere along the mid-80s that I realized it was beyond just the work itself, but the advocacy that was important to let other people know how important trees and forests are in so many different ways. So that brought the first book called Forever Green, The History and Hope of the American Forest. After that, I realized the importance of educating young people about these issues, and that's when the children's book, The Tree Farmer, came to be. Later on, I started thinking about the challenges we have with the population of our own country and population of the world and the pressure on our natural resources, and that's when I came up with Growing a Better America, Smart, Strong, and Sustainable. So I enjoy the advocacy. I enjoy giving speeches from time to time to various groups. I enjoy going to schools and interacting with young people on these subjects. And, you know, I think music gives me a little bit of an interesting platform to to make these outreach efforts.
What do you hope people will get out of watching The Tree Man, and how can people see the documentary?
Well, again, I think, you know, the impetus for me was just to have a document for my family, and I guess also for a clip of a period of time. You know, I guess we're looking mostly at the 70s through the present day in this documentary, but I think it is a very interesting period of time, and hopefully it serves that purpose as well. At present, it is available on most all streaming services, and that includes Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Tubi, all of those services with the exception of Netflix. It's also available in hard copy form on Amazon or on my website, chucklavelle.com. It's available in Blu-ray and in DVD, so there's all kinds of options for people to view it, and I hope they will.
All right, to read a transcript of the longer, complete interview with Chuck, just go to DougOster.com. Back with Talking Trees with Davey Trees in just a couple of moments. Good morning.
We are joined by Miles Stevens from the Davey Tree Expert Company. Good morning, Miles. How are you?
Good, Doug. How are you doing this morning?
First off, before we start talking about how to prepare your trees for winter, I need the pawpaw report.
Well, the pawpaw dropped. It's in the refrigerator right now, and we're going to have a feast among seven people on one pawpaw this afternoon.
You know, you have to save those seeds for me. I need seeds for Tree Pittsburgh, unless you're going to use them.
No, I'll donate them. What should I do once I take the seeds out? Is there a certain way to properly care for them?
Yeah, instead of drying, you just put them into a moist paper towel into a Ziploc bag, and then I'll come get them from you. Maybe even take you out to lunch.
Oh, cool. Sounds good.
Well, so this is exciting. You got your first pawpaw.
I know. I almost didn't know what to do.
You know, I posted one of the things that you always tell me, that George Washington enjoyed his pawpaw's refrigerator. Well, I posted that on Facebook, and I got a lot of people saying, there was no refrigeration, blah, blah, this and that. Well, then I found out that actually there was, that they would cut ice in the winter, and they would put it in barns and store it. So George Washington, like you and I, both love their pawpaw's refrigerators. All right, let's get on to preparing trees for winter. First off, this upcoming rain, that's going to help us, right?
Yes, absolutely. We've had some nice weather, but it's sort of dried things out a little bit too. So rain throughout the fall is actually a good thing preparing us for winter, really.
And then what else should we be doing? I mean, if we've got small trees, should we water them? Or what are some of the other things that we need to do to get ready for the end of the season?
Well, especially the small trees, if you've not kept up with the mulching around the tree, and, you know, we always talk about what proper mulching is, but, you know, to sort of insulate from the colder weather coming up, you know, clean things up a little bit, do a little last-minute pruning, some deadwood, and, you know, if it stays dry for a longer period of time, and I said you have some newer trees, some watering, and especially I think newer evergreens, and if you plant in the fall, I think it's actually critical, you know, especially with evergreens, that you get them watered to minimize the chance of winter desiccation. You see that a lot.
And as far as deer are concerned, we're coming up on that period called the rut, where they could be, you know, marking their territory and rubbing little trees or even big trees Talk a little bit about protecting them from the bucks.
There's several things that you can do. One, you know, some people create a barrier, you know, with some screening or whatever, some fencing, you know, 2 to 3 feet away from the trunk of the tree. Other people use, like, you can buy products or, like, a protection like that goes right on the trunk of the tree. And other times you can just take, if you can get help, some, like, 4-inch flex pipe and cut it to length you want and put that on the trunk of the tree. And that should protect it from the deer. But I've seen deer rubbing already, so they're already making their mark. So if you're going to think about doing that or you need to do it, I would do it very soon.
Yes, I am doing it right away because I have seen the same thing in the forest. That, you know, I tell you, maybe even just 2 weeks ago, I thought they were still grouped up as families, but they're definitely running now. And
I use that
kind of corrugated plastic drain pipe. And then my friends at my local hardware store, Hastings Hardware, they actually cut that for me because I don't know what side of a hammer to hold. So that made life a lot easier. But, yeah, I've got them out there. I'm going to put them around these trees. I better do that today. Well, this is definitely prime time planting season. We talk a lot about not planting too deep. That's critical. But also, right tree for the right place. Right, Miles?
Yes, absolutely. It's so many properties you go on to, and here the tree's large tree, once you get, you know, an 80-foot hemlock. We plant hemlock right next to the house, once you get 80-foot tall. So that's not a good situation. Another thing is, you know, selecting the tree for the locations go into. You know, looking at the amount of space you have for the tree to grow to maturity is one thing. Also, you know, don't put a tree that loves to be more shade loving in the middle of your sunny front yard. So size, location, you know, species appropriate for that are all very important factors. And yes, of course, don't, you know, everybody thinks they plant the tree a little deeper, they give them a little TLC, you're really suffocating that root system. So those are all important things.
You know, one thing that I didn't think about that you taught me is that even coming from the nursery, whether it's bald or burlapped or in a container, locating that root flare where that bottom of that tree kind of spreads out into its roots, sometimes a tree comes to you, you're buying it right from the nursery, it still needs to be kind of brushed off on the top, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you need to take that burlap off of there and, you know, cut that twine too. I've seen trees get planted and the twine is never cut off. It's wrapped around the trunk. Cut that off. Pull, you know, the burlap back, and you may have to remove some soil there. When those trees being dug, some soil may have got, you know, they're digging there and they just push some dirt onto there. So you need to, you know, carefully excavate until you start to see where that tree starts to flare out. You know, trees should never go into the ground like a telephone pole. You should always be able to scrape away a little soil and then and see where it starts to flare out, and then that's where you want to be with the soil.
You know, since I've got you here, I've got a personal question about my trees. I saw an oak tree there that has one of those edible mushrooms growing at the bottom. Is that a sign that I should have an arborist look at that tree?
It depends. I mean, not all mushrooms are indications of that there's a decay that may require the tree be removed. It's always a good idea to identify the mushroom, and then at that point you can decide, you know, what's the appropriate action. But not all mushrooms are an indication that you have a serious problem there. You know, you want to get it checked out, you know, make sure that, you know, there maybe is some decay there that needs your attention. But it's not always, you know, as soon as you see the mushroom, the tree has to go. It may not be that case at all.
Well, I'm certainly going to get it identified by an expert. You never, ever eat a mushroom unless a scientist tells you it's edible. Do not fool around, because those things can mess you up, even kill you. So real quick, Miles, how would you characterize the season? Was it a good season besides being busy, but weather-wise overall?
I think it was a good season. And we've had, through most of the year, we've had definitely adequate rainfall, more than adequate rainfall. We did have one dry stretch, you know, there in the summer, which is not atypical. But I think overall, the amount of rain we had and the temperatures and the weather we had, I think plants put on a lot of growth this year, I think more than we would have normally have seen. So I think it was a overall good year, some disease issues and that type of thing, which always come with some of the added precipitation and, you know, humid conditions. But I'd say overall, it was a good year for growth.
All right, Miles, hang in there. Maybe we'll get some tree questions for you. Now, for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, listen, we want you to call in with any question you have in the way of gardening, but obviously because of Miles being so gracious to be here once again with us, always happy to hear from him and Davey Tree. If you have a tree question, now would be a great time to fill up one of these lines. All of our lines are available, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Back with more in a moment. All right, let's get to Nancy, and Butler's got a great question. Nancy, how are you? Welcome to KDK. Good morning.
Hello. I have a Japanese maple, and the bark on the lower part of the trunk is kind of lifting away, and maybe some of it a little bit falling off.
So, Miles, did you get that Japanese maple?
Yes, I did. Bark peeling off a Japanese maple. That could be due to there's different cankers that can attack Japanese maple to cause the cambium, you know, to die off. And, you know, then bark ends up sloughing off of there. Also, they can get what's called verticillium wilt. So, you know, either one of those, there's no treatment specifically for that. If this is possible, if there's portions of the dead tree you can prune out, you know, that's what I'd recommend. Then give the tree, you know, some, you know, little extra water if it gets dry out. Even consider fertilization for that to try to help out. But that, sorry, one of those two possibilities is most likely.
So, Miles, in that case, that's something an arborist should take, right?
Yes, that would be a good idea. Somebody come out and take a look at it, more familiar with what can go on, what could be happening. I mean, you may end up finding an excavator around or you've been looking for girdling roots, too, is also another potential factor on that. We see a lot of that with maples, especially in the landscape.
All right, I get one question because of Miles. A rare opportunity for me to get a question as we wait for some more phone calls. So explain, how do you get a tree in your backyard that you don't remember planting? How's that possible? Because I have something, a maple or oak, just in its infancy, but it's right on the railing of my back porch, and I have no clue who and when, if anyone, ever planted it because it wasn't there when I moved in 10 years ago. How's that happen?
Well, we call those volunteer trees, and that can be the wind, that can be squirrels, it can be birds, any number of ways it could have got there. You know, or seeded, this had laid there dormant for years, but most likely it's it, you know, just by the wind, seed blew in, or excess squirrel, whatever, storing nuts away for the wintertime or whatever, all those could have brought that tree there. We see that a lot, especially on the boundaries when nobody really pays a lot of attention to. All of a sudden there's a tree there, and how to get there? Well, nature, you know, that's so the seed source is always there. Just mode of transportation could be, like I said, the wind, the bird, a small animal. Doesn't matter.
It's pure magic. Okay,
now,
Doug, 2
now
minutes.
Now, Rob, did that squirrel plant the right tree in the right place?
Well, he wasn't listening to your show often enough because we told people you have to be careful where you plant these close to your perimeter of your house for sure because you can get involved with power lines. But it's amazing because I actually thought it was a weed for a couple of years, and I said, you know, I'd whack it back a little bit, whack it back. And then, you know, as I came out in the spring, I'm like, that thing's got a trunk to it and it's got roots. And there it is. So whatever squirrel did it, I am appreciative, and we will make the most of it. We're down to 2 minutes, Doug, all yours and Miles. Go ahead.
Yeah, Miles, I want to talk real briefly about maples. Maples are on everyone's mind. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, what we're seeing, especially with the Norway Crimson King maple groups, is a lot of tar spot disease this year. And talk about being a good year, and then overall it's been a good year for growth, but we had a lot of moisture, which I say, you know, disease is like athlete's foot, it likes moisture. And so we've seen I've never seen tar spot this bad on maples, and especially Crimson Kings or the Norway maples. So early leaf drop, I think we've seen some anthracnose on those also. And then some of the older Norway maples and Crimson King maples, you see the tops dying back in some cases. That's also verticillium wilt. But the big thing I'm seeing this year is tar spot disease. Normally it's just an aesthetic type issue. So it's not a big deal with this year. It's just been amazing. Leaves were developing at just the right time. The pathogen was there and had the right moisture, and we've just seen a lot of it. We may not see much of it next year. It can sort of come and go. But this year, certainly a lot of damage.
All right, Miles, a big thank you for being on the show, for being on the show for all these years. This is our last Davey segment of the year until next year. Remember, you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. I'm answering questions after the show. It won't be till later on this afternoon. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, gentlemen, great job. Stay with us. Chicken Recipes, Joe and Frank, then TC coming up right after Josh Roundtree gets you caught up in that local news at 8. It's Rob Pratt Sunday. We roll on till 1 o'clock today on Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Good morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.